Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, with some tremendous new elements, particularly that the Rebbe is going to enjoy, because I'm going to explain at the end, so that he can't leave early like he usually does, at the end of the shir, to try to explain the inyanim here, I will have to explain the Roza de Shabbos and the closing that explains this daf. So, those of you who daven Nusach Sfarad or who are Hasidim of the Rebbe, can hold on here. Okay, so we were up to Ala Zekenim Shalom Michu Besarim. That was the last thing that we had learned. And what triggered that discussion was the fact that the Mishnah had said that it was the Pora, which sounded ridiculous to us anyway. How could Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah have one Pora? But it was the Pora of Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah that had gone out improperly on Shabbos with this decorative braid. So we ended up saying that what it means is that he wasn't Moche. So that starts us off on today's sugya, which is responsibility to be Moche. So we have this first, we have a number of stories. So Rebbe Yehuda HaMiyazik HaMeir Shmuel. So Rebbe Yehuda was sitting there in front of Shmuel. Shmuel was the Beis Din, but he wasn't the Av Beis Din. The Av Beis Din was actually Mar Ukva. So this woman comes in, and she is yelling about how she was mistreated, and she demands that the court takes her case and so on, and he paid no attention to her. So Rebbe Yehuda was like sort of shocked. I mean, you know, Rebbe, you don't hold that Otem Ozno Mizakat Dal. Don't you hold to the pasuk? Shlomo HaMelech says, if somebody closes his ears to the cries of a poor person, when he cries to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he won't be answered either. So how is it that you ignore this woman? It's not the pashtus of the pasuk. It wasn't referring to dinim, it was referring to giving tzedakah, but the idea is the same. Omar Le Shinina, listen here. She used to call a member of Yudah Sharpie. You may be right about that, you know, but there's not really very much I can do. So if your Rebbe is going to get any water poured over him, at least it'll be cold water. But let me tell you something. The guy in charge over here who's in charge of both of us is Mar Ukva. He's going to get burned. But Yativ Mar Ukva Av Beis Din, he's the one that's responsible. What are you looking at me? Dichtiv Beit David. Look, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks about the responsibility for Din, he speaks to the people on top. Beit David, Kol Amar Hashem, Dinu LaBoker Mishpat, Batzilu Gazul Miado Sheik Penteitzeicha Ish Chamati, Uvara Ve'in Mechabe Mipnei Roa Ma'alalehem. So there we're talking about the idea of who's responsible to have the Mishpat. That's Beit David. Listen, Mar Ukva is indeed a great-great-grandson of David HaMelech. He's responsible. And because of that, go talk to him. Rabbi Simon, why don't you say something to these crazy people in the Resh Galuta? We spoke about them before, that they're always making trouble. They don't do things right. It's not Moche in the Avodim, and it's a very bad example. We talked about the way that they're going to be responsible for everybody. There's no goodness. Why don't you do anything about it? Ah, he says, you can't talk to these people. They don't listen to anything. They don't listen to me. So Rabbi Zera said to him, it doesn't matter. Even though they don't listen to you, I forgot the Loma Kabbalah, you should still be Moche, because Rabbi Acha or Rabbi Hanina said that if you take a look in all over the Torah, Mi'olam lo yatzta midah tova mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'chazar bo l'ra'ah, there was never anything that was meant to be good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had been geyser that he changed his mind about, except for one thing, chutz midavar zeh, where it says, Vayomer Hashem elav avor betoch ha'ir Yerushalayim. So he says, this is the description of the Churban that's coming. So Yechezkel sees in the Nevi'ah, Barnea, please take your finger off the camera. So Yechezkel sees the vision of these terrible, frightening Malachim, you know, the Terminator and all of these wild characters that you have in, you know, the people who save the galaxy, what are they called again? Anyway, they look pretty scary. And they're sitting there all waiting to destroy Yerushalayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Vayomer Hashem Elav, Hashem says to the Malach, that before these guys go through the city and wipe everybody out, you should go through Yerushalayim והתביא את הטבע מצחות אנשים הנאנחים והנאנקים, הכל התויבות הנעשות בתוכה. Put the letter tuff on the forehead of the people who really care, the people who are crying and sighing. Yes, Guardians of the Galaxy, yeah. The people who are sighing, people who are crying about the terrible things being done in Yerushalayim, those people should be saved. Those are tzaddikim. So Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gavriel, Lech Rishom HaMitzchon Shel Tzaddikim Tov Shel Dyo. We find that Gavriel appears over there with a keset sofer. So he's holding a pen with ink. So he was told, use your pen and mark the foreheads of the tzaddikim so that the malachim, that are these malachi chabalah, the terminators, they'll see the tuff and they won't hurt these people. But on the mitzcham shel rishaim, also put a tuff, but that should be a tuff written in blood. Kedei sheyishlatu be'malachi chabalah. That will identify the ones that they have to go get. Then there's the beinonim. The beinonim could get caught, whatever, but the ones that I want to get rid of for sure, they should get that tuff in blood. Comes along, Midas Adin says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't get it, Ribono Shelam. What's the difference? How come these guys get a tuff of blood and these guys get a tuff of ink? They look the same to me. The same, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Allah look tzaddikim gemurim, v'alala rishayim gemurim. Don't you think that's a little different? Man, what happened to you? Amrala Fanav says, Midas Adin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to me they look exactly the same. I'll tell you why. Because Hayabi Adamim Chod v'lo Michu, they didn't say anything to anybody. How come they didn't do anything about the situation? It's very nice. They sat there moaning and groaning. Oh, it's a terrible situation. Did you do anything about the situation? Ah, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know there was nothing to do. Galui v'yadu lefanai, no matter what they would have done, nobody would have paid the slightest amount of attention. Says Midas Adin, you know. That doesn't mean that they know. So im lefanecha galui lahem mi galui. It's not galui lahem. Tosus points out over here, but that means that the only time that we have this b'chuyavut is where, in fact, there is at least a chance that these people could be responsive. If you really know that they're not responsive, then you're not supposed to be moved. Anyway, so because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu now changes his mind. Einu diftiv, and that's why we have a contradiction, because then the Pasuk says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells these Malachi Chavalah, kill everybody. Zakein, Bachur, B'tulav, Taf, V'nashim, Targu, L'mashchit, which are the Terminators. V'al kol ish asher alav ha-tav, al tigashu. So first it says, don't take the people that have the Taf. And then he says, no, I changed my mind. Mimikdashi tachelu, start with my Mikudashim. The Beis HaMikdash, which we read later on, Mekudashai, like we did over here with Noda Vaviyu. Uchtiv vayachelu v'anashim ha-zekenim asher lifnei abayit, that these terminators, they went and they started with the zekenim. Tonei Rav Yosef al tikri mikdashi ala Mekudashai. Elu b'nei adam shekimu et ha-torah kula mi'alev ha-taf. These are the people that kept kol ha-torah kula, and that's, we're going to see later on, that was the taf, was the remez, the alev ha-taf. And in fact, we find that right after that, the Hinei Shisha, which really before, but this was all in preparation. Hinei Shisha, Nashim, Ba'imi, Derek, Sharel, Yon, Hashem, Ofne, Tzafona. We see these six terminators. They're coming in through the Shara Elyon, which is facing north. Everyone's got his wild weapon in his hand. This is Kli Mapatso, his bomb, whatever the Mapats was, you know, all these kind of characters in the movies. They're pretty powerful, whatever it is they're carrying there. So that was the Kli Mapatso. And there's one guy in the middle, this is Gavriel, who is Levush HaBadim. He's always identified as the guy that's wearing the Badim, who carries a Keset HaSofer B'motnav. And he comes and he stands next to the Mizbach HaNechoshes. Next to the Mizbach HaNechoshes? What are you talking about? There wasn't any Mizbach HaNechoshes. We're in the middle of the destruction of Beis HaMikdash and Mizbach HaNechoshes. Shlomo HaMelech had put away the Mizbach HaNechoshes when he built the Beis HaMikdash. This is 410 years later. How could that be? So what does that mean? It means that Omer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hatchilu mimakom shomrim shira lefanai. Listen, that Mizbeach, I still look at it as Mizbach HaNechoshes. You know why? Because of all the beautiful musical instruments around it that are made out of Nechoshet. So to me, that's the place that I relate to as being the most holy place because of the music. And therefore, start from the place where they sing Shomrim Shira Lefanai. So it's still Nechoshet. Who, by the way, are these six monstrous, dangerous mashchitim? Om Rav Chista, we find that we have Ketzef, Af, Chema, Mashchit, Mshaber, Mechalez. These are like the Terminator, the Annihilator, the Furies, whatever, all the most, these most horrible names. So these are going to come along and they're going to destroy everything. And Mishna Tov, why did we choose the letter Tov? Omar Rav, well, Tov can mean Tichyu, or Tov can mean Tamut. Shmuel says, yeah, Tov could also mean Titrachetz, you know, or Tishter. I mean, what in the world, who cares what you put after the Tov? No, the Tov has got to be the meaning of a word itself. So the Tov would mean Tama, it's over, baby. Tama Schut Avot, there's no more Schut Avot that anybody's going to be able to use against me and say, you can't do this. What about Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it could also mean Tochon Zechut Avot. That's for Shalom, that the Schut Avot should still be Chal on you. Reish Lakish says, Tov is the Chotem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the Omer of Chanina Chotem Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emet. So Emet refers to Ani Rishon, Vani Acharon, that's Aleph and Tav, and then Ani Hu is the middle letter of the Mem. And therefore, what we see over here is this final stamp of HaKadosh Baruch. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni says, well, that's very simple. The Tav is Keneged the Tzidkes. Elu b'nei Adam shekimut haTorah kula mi Aleph a Tav. Or in terms of the Rishayim, the Kabbalistic element of the Tav, is that the Koyach of Ra comes only from the last little piece of the regel of the Tov, is where all of evil is yonik from. Okay, now before we get into the next piece, which is when would we say Tama Zechut Avot, I just want to explain this sugya, because I find that all of the Mefarshim have really completely misunderstood, to the point where they actually, somebody inserted an awful piece into the Rambam, where the Rambam, in describing the dinim of Nevius, where he says, well, if a Navi says something L'teva, it can never be Ra, and therefore it represents an actual way, and the only way that you could test a Navi to see that he's Emes, is if something good was said by a Kodesh Baruch Hu and it doesn't happen, so then he's a Navi Sheker and you kill him. And then somebody threw into the Rambam, except there was only one time in history where this wasn't true, like it says in the Gemara and Shabbos, and brings this story, which of course makes the entire halacha completely and totally nonsensical, because how can you have a test which one time in history didn't work, no, so the next time in history, so now you're gonna kill Yeshayahu Navi because it was another time? I mean, it's crazy. The point is like this. It's amazing, the Kudah. The point is that the Lashon, as we're gonna see, of not being Moche, is that who nitfas boto avon? It's not the pshat that you're punished for not being mochiach someone. It's that the avon is considered to have been done by you. So therefore, it's still true. The gezeira l'teva was that everybody that didn't do this avon will be saved. But if they weren't mocha, they did do this avon. That's the point. So there was no chazara at all. The only thing that midas hadin actually achieved was to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu accept the fact that these people were also me'alav atof, rishoyim, in the same way, because the same tof, which of course is merumas in the fact that it was the same tof from the beginning. That was actually the opening to Midas Adin. Anyway, so therefore, there chas v'sholem that there should be any time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was actually chayzer. Okay, so now we can continue on with the next piece, which is part of this stuff. So the question is, if we're saying, actually not, I want to say something before, I'm sorry. So actually not, because the Machlokes Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan over here about whether Tama Zechut Avot is a very, very problematic thing, which is that we find that that's absolutely not true, because we're always... We always say, right? Ki Yarachum Hashem lo yishkach et brit avotecha, and so on and so forth. We always master this in our tefillas and so on. So what could the Gemara mean, Tamas Chut Avot? So the Rabbeinu Tam's pshat is that schut avot is not the same thing as the brit avot. The brit avot, for sure, you can't change. You can't change your brit avot because you're upset with something. Once you enter into a brit, it's not changeable. But just the zechut, or zecharti et briti Yaakov, vafet briti Yitzchak, and so on, that was said after the Golas. So that is something that is said for all times. All that the ideas over here were not just masker b'schus Avram or Yitzchak v'Yaakov. That's one approach. Now we're going to go into the Gemara. Keep that open because there's a number of different possibilities over here. And let's take a look at the piece that describes when this would have happened. So apparently you're telling me that there was a Tama Schut Avot. What was that Tama Schut Avot? So when did that happen? Mi'ematai Tama Schut Avot, asks the Gemara. So when did this happen? That there's no longer a schut avot, a shocking statement. So Amar Rav, this is from the time of Hoshea ben Be'eri, because it says over there in the pasuk, Agalet navluta le'inema aveh ve'ish lo yatzilena miyadi. I'm going to strip her right in front of her lovers, and no one will be able to save her. What do you mean, no one will be able to save her? Meaning that even Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, their zechus will not be able to stand in my way. Shmuel says, it's from the time of Hazael, because it says, V'chazael melech Aram, l'chatz et Yisrael kol yemei ho'achaz, and then it says, V'yochon Hashem otam, v'yerachamem v'yifen alayem leman brito shel Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, lo ava hashchitam v'lo yishlicham mi'alpanav ad ata. So up until now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had rachamim on them for the sake of the bris with Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. And that's only until now. But from now on, not. This is how Rashi learns. Now, that means that Rashi is chaylik on the Rabbeinu Tam, because Rashi is saying that the brit is only ad ata, which the Rabbeinu Tam says is not true. The brit is forever. I'm drinking. You don't look. You don't look. And then you sit and you make demands on an innocent drinker.
I was responding to Rebbe's L'chaim. I just got my call.
Unless you call social distance drinking, that doesn't have a shame of drinking. Now that's a good point. So, the Rabbeinu Tam actually learns this the exact opposite. And the exact, you want to be maskir along your father's name again, which I already did at the beginning. You're not even there. I see. Well, we speak to the chair. Reishach Bekariri. I only want to address the chair. Mention your father's name to us again, please, even though I did it before. It doesn't help to move your lips. I mean, maybe in tefillah it will help. Unmute.
Hillel Ben Meir, Hilton Rava. Thank you, Rabbi.
What a character.
That he was.
It's very hard to forget him. It's such a character, basically. He's never really dead because he's too crazy. He's always there.
Always telling me, think, use your brains. Gary, how did you do that? Are you stupid or something?
Okay, so according to Rabbeinu Tam, the diak is exactly the opposite. It's because it says over here, Laman Brito et Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. How come he has to be masker the Brit? Why doesn't he say B'schus Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov? So you see that at this point is the first time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to invoke the Brit in order to be able to save Yisrael. So that's the exact opposite of Rashi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, actually it's from the time of Elio, because when Elio did that big deal with the Baal, so it says over there, Vayi Baalot Amincha, Vayijash Elio anavi vayomar Hashem Elokei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yisrael hayom yivada ki ata Elohim b'Yisrael v'ani avdecha u'bidvorecha asiti et kol ha'devarim ha'ela. So you see that he's saying today, it's today that you will remember, but this is the last time that people have that opportunity. Rabbi Yochanan says it's from the time of Chizkiyo. Shenema lemar beha misra v'leshalom in ketz. Al kisei David ve'al mamlachto lachinota ulesaada b'mishpat ubitzdaka mi'ata v'yad olam kinat Hashem tzvakot ta'asezot. So what is going to do this, says Yeshayahu HaNavi? Only the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekane Le'amo. Why is that the way that it will be achieved? Why can't it be achieved through Mevi Goel Ivnei V'nehem L'man Shmo B'Ava here? It should be able to be achieved because of the Schus Avos. Oh, apparently, the Schus Avos was gone. That's what you see from here. Now, what this means is, gentlemen, I mean, if we've got a situation in which the Schus Avos keep showing up, you know, I mean, if the Schus Avos was Tom from the Diyuk that we had earlier, so how is it still around to be able to discuss it, Bimei Chizkiyo and so on, right? So the point is, so first of all, as I say, the Rabbeinu Tam's pshat is there's a difference between Schus Avos and Bris Avos. And that's good for the Diyuk that Shmuel says Chazael, we find is Brita, not Schusa. Masha Einkein, the Re says that actually like Rashi, because it says that he brings from Vayikra Rabba, and he says there's not really a machlokas between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. Shmuel was simply saying that Schus Avos is Tama, but it's only Tama to Rishoyim, who are not themselves connected to the Schus Avos. So it won't be able to work for people who disconnected themselves from that Zechus. And all that Rabbi Yochanan was saying was that for Tzaddikim, and that it was what Rabbi Yochanan was talking about, that Tzaddikim, for sure, it would still be there. V'horaya, from the fact that we find that Chizkiyo, again, we start talking about it as if it was Tama, and over here it says, even in the Churban, Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said Tachun Zechut Avot, which is much later, because he's talking about at the time that Yechezkel is referring to these Mashritim. So, and it's based on that, says the Re, that we in our tefillahs always talk about the Zechut Avot. And he brings from the Medrash that Rabbi Acha Amar, Li Olam Zechut Avot Kayemet, Vela Olam Anu Maskirim Otam. Fine. So basically, I believe, first of all, that what you have over here is the question of whether for a particular time in which Klal Yisrael becomes disconnected from the Zechut Avot, it was Tam. It doesn't necessarily mean that this is a permanent situation. It's possible to reconnect to the Zechus Avos, which is something that we find in the analysis of the Gemara of the idea of is there something that will be punished ad shvileshim v'ad ribeim l'son ai? Doesn't it say that you don't get any kind of punishment for av ala ben or ben ala av? The Gemara is mechalek between those who are connected to the Maisei Avos L'ra and those who are connected to the Maisei Avos L'tov, which very possibly would be true over here as well. So that doesn't mean, chas v'chalila, that this is something that is, when we say this, it means that it's over. And that's the way Tosfos comes out, that we always have the Schus Avos. Omar Rabami. Now we enter into another issue. We said before that the only difference that it made that even the Rishayim, the Tzadikim rather, should be nitfas on the Maisim of the Rishayim was because of the fact that they weren't Mocha, which implies that when Minas Adin asks this question, it is attacking a fundamental idea, which is that if there wouldn't have been a reason for these people to have been wiped out by these Mashritim, then they wouldn't have died. Now, that's not so poshut, because that assumes that life is fair. Do we have a right to assume that life is fair? That's the Gemara's next question. So Amar Rav Ami, Ein mita below chet, ve'ein yisurin below avon. Life is fair, and nobody would die if they hadn't personally sinned on some level. Chet includes even shogeg, note. And nobody would suffer. This means, according to Tosfos, it means would not suffer insanely. It doesn't mean nobody would suffer, because yisurin definitely are there in order to be mechaper even on a shogeg. But nobody would have these horrible yisurin if there would not have been an avon, which was bemezid. And I can prove it to you. This is beferish. Only a nefesh achotat. Ben lo yisa be'avon ha'av, av lo yisa be'avon ha'ben, titkat ha'tzadik, alav tiyeh, rishat ha'rasha, alav tiyeh. This is beferish. That if it wouldn't be that someone had been chote, so then there's no way that they would have possibly have died. And I can furthermore prove to you that ein yisurin b'li avon. That's also true because it says ufakati b'shevet pisham uvenegaim avonam. So it says over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish the pesha and the avon with these horrible things, right? With the negaim and so on. Those are yisurin b'cho'arim that we spoke about early in brachas. But yisurin b'cho'arim are different. Fine. That is Rabbani. Meisvei. The Brisa says not like that. Because Amru Malachei Asharet Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, why did you, I mean, what did Adam HaRishon do, B'sach HaKol? You know, a little bit of a fruit. I mean, come on. Don't you think it's a bit of an exaggeration? I mean, normally, you have a little bit of patience, no? I mean, people do things wrong, and it says, you know, Eov says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves, you know, Pamaim, Shaloshim Gever, two times, three times, he'll save your rear end. So how come as soon as the Adam HaRishon does something wrong, pow, now the whole human race has to die? So what'd you do that for? Amar Lahem, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, listen, it's not comparable at all, you know? I mean, he didn't have any responsibilities. I gave him one lousy mitzvah, one mitzvah kala. It was the only communication I have with him, you know, and I'm telling him, don't do this. And this dafka is the thing that he does. I mean, come on, that's not the same. So because of that, what choice did I have? So the Malachi Asher said, well, what about Moshe and Aaron? They were in Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula and they died. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, what can you do? Life isn't fair, you know. Mikra Echad L'Tzadik V'L'Rasha. It's all the same, the good and the wicked. L'Tov and the L'Noder and L'Misher Neder Yorei and so on. So it's all the same. So that seems to be saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him, the Malachim, life isn't fair. But Rabbani claims that things are fair and that there would be no way that there would be Misa without an individual's doing his chait. Well, Rav Ami has a mucker. Rav Ami, who claims that everything is fair, he was going on Liber Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Because Rav Shimon ben Elazar says that Moshe and Aaron did not die because of this, that life isn't fair. They died because they were chote. It says beferish in the pasuk. Shenemar yan lohe mantin bilag sheni. Therefore, you have to die, which is clearly indicative that if you hadn't done this, it would not have been your time to die had you not done something wrong. So that's mamish, exactly what Rav Ami said, that they wouldn't have died if they hadn't been caught. As the Gemara, that's not true, because take a look at this. And the Braita says that there were four people in history who only died because of the Ityoshal Nachash. The Ityoshal Nachash is the Eitzah that the Nachash gave to Adam HaRishon, which introduced death, and they did nothing wrong themselves, that means below Chet, and they died because of that situation. And there are four people, and only four people. There was Binyamin ben Yaakov, there was Amram, the father of Moshe, there was Yishai, the father of David, and there was Kilav, who was the son of David. All of these, we can't bring a raya from a pasuk. We have it b'Kabbalah, except for Yishai, Avi David, that we know from a remez in the pasuk that he only died be'it Yoshal Nachash, and that's because the pasuk makes it clear. The Mefarish Beikra, the pasuk says like this, Ve'et Amasa sam Avshalom tachat Yoav al hatzava, the Amasa ben Ish Ushmo Yitra ha-Yisraeli. So Avshalom, in his rebellion, he made Amasa the new minister of war, the general. And this Amasa was the son of a certain gentleman whose name was Yitra Yisraeli. And this guy had basically connected to the girl who was Avigail. And this Avigail was the daughter of Nachash. Now that's really weird because there was an Avigail who had been married to a Nachash. But she was certainly not Achot Tsruya Em Yoav. She wasn't the sister of Tsruya. So actually, she was the sister of David, which means she was the daughter of Yishai. Because what are you telling me, that she was Bat Nachash? Her father's name wasn't Nachash. She was actually the Bat of Yishai, specifically. Because it says Beferish in the pasuk after it lists the seven sons of Yishai, and it says Vahashvi'i is David, it goes on to say V'achyotehem, the sisters of the seven sons of Yishai, were Tsruya and Avigail. Whoa. So then how come all of a sudden Yishai is called Mr. Nachash? That's because she was the daughter of the one who died because of the Nachash. That's the point. It's all about Misha Mate Be'etyo Shel Nachash. Now, who do you think wrote this Braita, okay? I mean, if it was the same Tana that said the whole Braita about Malachi Ashores and that they were told that things are not fair, so then why didn't they list Moshe V'Aaron? Because if you're looking for people who never sinned, the Malachi Ashores, according to that Tana, claimed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe and Aaron never sinned. And according to them, according to that Mandi Omar, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed, you're right, they never sinned, but life isn't fair. So then how come they're not listed over here by this Tana? We should have six people. We should have the four people that we just said, plus Moshe V'Aaron, and we don't. So obviously it can't be that Tana. It's got to be going like Reb Shimon ben Elazar. And that would mean that even though Reb Shimon ben Elazar was the one you were relying on that was going to supposedly back up the shita that life is fair, because he was the one that said that Moshe and Aaron died b'chetam, he agrees that there were four people that did not die b'chetam, and these were these four people. So nobody agrees to the idea that life is fair. So Shmamina yesh mita b'lo chet, v'yesh yisurim b'lo avon, and that shows that Reb Ami is kaput. You're right. The yufta, Reb Ami, to yufta. That's the end of Reb Ami shita. So now we have officially concluded that life is unfair. Anyway, getting back to the story of Reb Elazar ben Azariah, which he didn't really do anything wrong, he just wasn't Meicha. Well, we find very often, what right do we have to say such terrible thing? Well, we're going to go and say, and Reb Elazar ben Azariah, his cow went out with an illegal braid between its horns. What a terrible thing to say about Reb Elazar ben Azariah of all people, just because he wasn't Meicha. Well, look at the terrible things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that people did, that they never really did, and you'll understand. There's Amr of Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amr of Yonatan. Let's take a look at Reuven. Now, Reuven is presented in the pasuk as if he slept with his father's wife, right? Says Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmani, anybody who believes that is totally off. Kol Amr Reuven Chata Eino Ela To'eh. Because in the pasuk itself, immediately after that story, what does it say? Vayu b'nei Yaakov Shemasa. Why does it mention that? We know how many children there were. So the whole point is, Malami Shekulam Shkulim Ka'achat, that even after that story, we view Reuven as being totally within the overall similar commitment of all of the Bnei Yaakov. So why then does it say, Vayishkavet Pila Belegesh Pilegesh Aviv? It's because Mipnei Shebil Bel Matza'o Shel Aviv, because he went in and he messed up his father's bed and moved it from one tent to another tent so that it should be now in the tent of his mother, Leah. Ma'aleh, as we'll see, ma'aleh alav hakatuv ki'ilu shachav ima. So it was as if he had slept with her. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, chas v'shalom, to think that Reuven slept with his father's wife? Come on. Mutzal otot tzadik mi'oto avon v'lo ba'ma, says the Rabbi Yadon. Chas v'shalom. Says Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, I'll prove it to you. Imagine that he had actually done that, okay? So then when we stand on our grizim and our eva, it's shevet Reuven that is supposed to be giving the aruri. And you're going to tell me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the guy who slept with his father's wife, and he's telling that shevet, okay, guys, now say it big and loud. Everyone who sleeps with a father's wife should drop dead and go to hell. I mean, it's ridiculous how HaKadosh Baruch Hu would put someone in that matzah. So, Efshar Atid Zaro La'amodar Areva, Lomar Oro Shochev Imeshet Aviv. And this is the guy that was Shochev in Or. It's not possible. So then what is the meaning of Vayishkavet Pil'ah B'legesh Aviv? Basically, he was trying to be mechabed his mother. And he was Elbon Imo Tava. He was trying, it was such an embarrassment to his mother that after his mother dies, that Yaakov moves in to Bilhah, who was the Pelegesh of Rachel. He says, I can understand that my mother's sister, Rachel, knew he loved her more than he loved my mother. That's the way that he lived. I can't complain about that. So she was a tzara limi. But it's so improper. Shivchat achoti mi tei tzara limi. You're going to tell me that my mother's concubine, who was a shivcha, she took as a concubine, now that's going to be a competitor to my mother? Absolutely not. Amad ubebilat matza'a. So he wrecks this and moves it into the into the tent of his mother. Others say there's a diuk over here that he attacked the bed of the Shechina, that there were shtei matzaot bilbel, achat shel Shechina v'achat shel Aviv. Then Yaakov, this is the way Rashi brings, that Yaakov Avinu would always have an extra bed in the tent for the presence of the Shechina. And that's the Ohalei Tzadikim. So Yemin Hashem is Ohalei Tzadikim, that when there's no Mishkan, or before there was a Mishkan, the same thing we find by Moshe Rabbeinu, that he took his own tent and it became the Ohel Moed. So basically, every tent that Yaakov Avinu had for each one of his four wives had an additional bed in it. Remember that the Beis HaMikdash is called the bedroom, right? And when there's the Avodah Zarah that Klal Yisrael does, it's called Katzar HaMitzah MiHistareah. So the bed was too thin for there to be two Shechinas on it, Chas V'Shalom, Avodah Zarah, and three is a crowd, basically, is what that pasuk says. So then that means that the real bedroom, a serious bedroom, is the place for the Shechina. And that means that there must have been, says Rashi, that the tent that Yaakov Avinu would go into to have relations with that woman was the tent that he saw the Shechina come into that tent. So then that means that when Reuven messed up the Yitzuim, he messed up the bed that was made for the Shechina. And that's why it says, Az chilalta Yitzui Allah, you were mechalel the bed Allah, not Alita by getting on it, but Allah, that the Shechina had come onto that bed, and Hashem Yirachem, look at what you did. Kitanoi. Machlok is really whether Reuven had actually done this or not. And this is based on the word pachas kamayim. So when Yaakov Avinu says to Reuven, it's because of your pachas kamayim, therefore altotar, you weren't given the bechora, you weren't given the gedula. And that, what does that word pachas mean? So pachas can be read like a combination of words, like an acronym. So Rabbi Eliezer himself says the P stands for pasta. Pasta means you did not think, man, you went too fast. And the chet stands for chavta. You were mechayev of yourself by being chete. And zion means zalta, that you were mezalzel. Rabbi Yoshua, it means pachas is pay for pasat al dat. You trampled over the din. And chet stands for chatata. And zion stands for zanita. So he holds that Reuven really did this. Rabbi Gamliel says Reuven was sorely tempted to do this, but he didn't. Because it says pilalta, pay, that you daven, chalta, you begged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Zarcha Tvilatcha, Kadosh Baruch Hu saved you from this act. Rabbi Gamliel says, everybody's pshat is never good enough. You want the real pshat, you go to Rabbi Lezer HaModoi. That's where you get a real pshat, okay? And we still need him. Adayin on the Tzrichel HaModoi. The Rabbi Lezer HaModoi, Omer, you have to invert the pachas because it's too fast. And therefore, it's really Zachaf, which is, so we have the Zion, this first Zizata, you were trembling out of the fear of what it is you wanted to do. And you were here, tata, where hey and ches are interchangeable. So you recoiled. And parcha chet mimcha, the chet flew away from you. Rava, or subject was Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba, say pachas, I agree, is backwards, the way Elazar HaMadoi said. But it's Zion stands for zacharta, you remembered the big trouble you'll get into this onesh on this. You made yourself sick because to stop from doing something that you desperately want to do is like horrific, and you make yourself sick for it. And pirashta melachto, you held yourself back in the end. Okay, then we're going to get into a list of, it's so late, I guess we might as well do it. So Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, we have the same issue with the children of Eli. The children, by the way, I'm still in the middle of the sugya that I promised you at the beginning. We'll see, which the main question is, what the heck is this doing in Perek Bameba Eman? Come on. It's like, all of a sudden, we're getting into a hold off of issues that are completely irrelevant, just because we happen to mention something in the Mishnah. I mean, it's weird. Okay, so we're going to be talking about Reuven. This is the Simon. We're going to talk about Reuven's chet as we did. We're talking about the Bnei Eli's chet. It says the same thing, that they slept with the women. We're going to be talking about Bnei Shmuel. We're talking about David, who supposedly slept with an Anashas Ish. We're talking about Shlomo. We're talking about Yoash. We're going to see that each one of the horrible things that it says about these people it doesn't mean. Now note that when it says chatu, as Tosfos points on Rashi's Baramis, it doesn't mean in any of these cases it wasn't chote. It means it was not a chate that the pasuk describes. It's completely out of line with what people think it means. That's the point. But of course it was a chate. I mean, we're saying that Reuven was chote also. So B'nai Eli, where it says that they slept with the women, that's ridiculous. Because it says beferish, v'shom shnei v'nei Eli chofni upinchas, and it says them that they are like chofni upinchas, and how does that prove anything? Because Rabbi Yonasan holds like Rav. Rav says one thing's for sure, Pinchas 100% wasn't chote, which I'll prove to you from the pasuk. And since over here it puts together chofni upinchas, it's being makish chofni with pinchas. Just like pinchas was not chote, chofni was not chote. So then how do you explain the fact that it says in the pasuk that his sons were sleeping with the women? It says, asher yishkevunet anashim apetach ha'omoed. I mean, it's horrific. So what does that mean? Come off it, man. It means, mitoch sheshi huet kineihem shloholchu etzel ba'alehem, the pasuk describes a horrific lackadaisical attitude that the B'nai Eli had to the karbonas of the people. The people would say, bring the carbon, bring the carbon. No, no, no. First, I want to make sure that you're going to be giving the parts to the Kohen, you know? Oh, come on. I mean, come on. You're supposed to first bring the carbon. No, no, no. We don't do things that way. And it's horrific. So because of that, the women that would bring their karbonas after Ledar, after Ziva, they wouldn't go home because they didn't trust them. So they would stay there until they made absolutely sure that the carbon was brought, because they felt that these guys, you can't just trust them. What happened to the Kohanim, Zrizim, and the whole deal? Which meant that when a woman would come up to Yerushalayim, she would always come up with a hotel room to stay overnight, because she could never be sure that you could rely on the carbon being brought, which meant that she did not go home. If she did not go home, then that meant she was not able to sleep with her husband. Well, a man who gets in that way of preventing a woman and taking charge of her life with her husband is, for all intents and purposes, asher yishkavunet anashim. It's outrageous. And because of that, incredibly, the Torah stresses here that it's tracing the problem to some foundational problem. You got a problem. And this is a Freudian problem. People don't get involved in that kind of thing if they have any sensitivity. So it means that we can trace a behavior that appears completely innocent in terms of any sexual content. I'm going to trace it back to its Freudian roots. And I'm going to say yishkevunet anashim, because in reality, that's what I'm tracing it back to. It's because of that, that even those who argue and say that Reuven was not chote, they bring the raya that he was not chote from the pachas that he did feel a profound attraction to his father's wife. It's just that he was pachas, he was mispalel, and so on and so forth with the drushes that we make. But everybody agrees that there was, in fact, a sexual element in it, and that the Torah is tracing back whatever misbehavior there was. I'm going to treat it as if it's the real thing and talk about it as if you actually did it. In which case, the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, also, we're taking the same kind of thing. It's not such a bad thing that we did that we talk about the way that they behaved, that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah behaved. Anyway, should we do one more, just to make sure that we finish the daf, and then I'll explain to you what's going on? I think we have time. You said, Rav said, I can prove to you for sure that Pinchas wasn't chayte, and now I'll make the hekesh between Pinchas and Chof. What was that? How do you know? Rav says Pinchas lo chata. Why? Because it says Achi ben Achituv, Achi I chavod ben Pinchas ben Eli Kohen Hashem, and he had put on the ephod and so on. Now that means that Achia, who was basically the ongoing presence of the kahuna, so is it shayach that Pinchas had done that chait? And the pasuk, in wanting to describe who Achiah was, would take it back to Pinchas? Because it says beferish that that does not happen. It says, Yachret Hashem le'ish asher yasena, ervo nami o'alei Yaakov, v'megish mincha la Hashem tzvakot. that somebody who does something like that, that's referring to sleeping with the Goya, but it's the same thing with an Eishes Ish, it should be even worse. And how could such a Kohen be a Magish bin Chal Hashem Tzvakot? How would we trace the Kohuna back through a person who did that? And it means like this, if he's not a Kohen, is he Yisrael? So then heir, he will not have an heir. Heir means will not have somebody who has any kind of exciting and alert type of personality. No heir in the Chachamim. Lo oneh b'talmid, and not somebody who can answer shailas. And if he's a Kohen, he will not have any son who is a Magish Mincha. So obviously, the only thing you can decide from here is a Shema Mina Pinchas Lo Chata. And that would mean that we had a Hekesh for Pinchas, as we saw before, to Chofni. So then why does it say Asher Yishkevun, that they both slept with these women? No, that you could have read Asher Yishkevain, that he, meaning Chofni, he slept with the women. I said, but not, this next piece is got something wrong with it. So, as I'll show you in a moment, doesn't it say Al Banai Lo Tovash Mua? Please, my children, you've got to act differently. This is terrible because I hear the things that people are saying. Well, it doesn't say Banai. You could read that as Bini. So maybe he was talking to Chofni. Now the next piece Rashi says is can't make any sense. Tosus actually brings that it's Sosa the Girsa in our Sforim, but Rashi says it's stupid. Because when it says Asher Am Ma'avirim, the Gemara is taking that as if Ma'avirim is a Lashon of Avera, that Chofni and Pinchas were sinning, which is silly, because Ma'avirim simply means spreading the word about these Kohanim. So it really is no kasha at all. And to say that it says Ma'aviram, and that, we're not talking about that. So Rashi says, forget it. Okay. But doesn't it say B'nai Belial, that they were together? Ah, we get back to the idea, Mitoch Sha'ayalo L'Pinchas L'mchot L'Chofni. He should have stopped him. He should have protested. And he didn't say anything. Ma'aleh Alav HaKatuv, as we saw at the beginning of the sugya, Ki'ilu Chata. So this brings the issue back to the responsibility of Micha'a. Now, the question, of course, is what is all of this doing in the middle of Bamebe Himayatzad? It seems to be completely coincidental. I said, no, it's not coincidental at all. It's absolutely fabulous. And the fabulous issue is like this, that we started off with understanding Bamebe Himayatzad, but then we even had that funny Gemara yesterday. Oh, so Asito Marukva, or Asito Yalta, you know, you're taking better care of your animals than I do my wife. And we ended up with the lotion of the chanunot means the lashon of rachum, v'chanun, and so on. So what did that mean? It meant that we looked at the tzivui of l'man yanucho, l'shorcha v'chamorcha, and the chobem techa, as being the sense that the person has to expand himself into the feelings of the animal to the point where he literally has to begin having a theory of mind of the animal. How much does it pain an animal to have to bend its neck to eat? How much would it enjoy having this special way in which you're treating it? How cold would it feel if you're taking off its wool? And what pain would it feel if it has to give birth and nobody cares for it? And so on and so forth, which of course we know was exactly what it was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to see in Moshe Rabbeinu. How does he treat sheep? How does David HaMelech treat sheep? And that's becomes the simon of who is capable of being a leader. However, the implications of that is that the nature of Shabbos is the expansion of the sense of human care and awareness into the world around him. Therefore, the sugya immediately goes into the din that if someone has a chance to change his family, or someone has a chance to change his city, or someone has a chance to change the world, that's his responsibility, al achas kama v'kama. If you have to think about it's your responsibility that your animals don't work on Shabbos, do you not think that Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria needed to expand his awareness into the neighborhood and into the animals that were around him? So from there we go directly. And that, why else do we throw in Amra lover Rabbi Elazar ben? I mean, it's insane to put that into what we need to say something bad about him. We're telling you a din? Because that's the whole point. that since the idea of the delicacy of the difference between wearing a braid and an animal, whether it's l'shmira or whether it's l'noi, which becomes your use of the animal instead of the animal's care about the noi, which is abuse. We're abusing your animal. The Torah says l'man tonuach, and you're saying what makes me feel better to have the animal look nice makes you feel better. There's no reason for your theory of mine to do that to an animal. It's abusive because you're inserting your feelings into the animal. And therefore we bring in that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah allowed this to go on around him. It's the same idea. It's abusing the neighborhood. And if you allow your children to be that way and not, you say, let them do it. It's okay. You're abusing your children. If you allow your city to get away with this and you don't say anything, it's a complete zilzal in your relationship to life. So because of that, we get into all of these sugyas, which revolve in the end as we come back to here. Bipnei shelo michabo, it's letting people do what they want and not caring enough, which you need to know from Shabbos, that that's what Shabbos is about. So it's about the integration of the world around you into a complete singularity that you experience through the minds of others and through the minds of the animals around you and through the Bria as a whole. Now, because of that, and this is like the most amazing part, remember that all of these inyanim are related specifically first with the idea of Hotzah, and then with the way in which Hotzah is mechayev you before Shabbos to plan what it is that you are going to be doing and where it is that you will be for Shabbos. So therefore it gets into Hadlokas Neiras, and it gets into the Shema Yacht of putting up a cholent, and it gets into checking your clothing, and it gets into the Din of Atmana, and it gets into the question, as we're Medayik from the Mishnah, of what was your Chamor wearing Erev Shabbos in order to define the nature of the Otzah on Shabbos, which is amazing because it ties directly into that issue. It's Bedafka, Erev Shabbos, as opposed to Shabbos, that is the source of the sugya, of looking at these chatoim, of these great people, and calling them some type of weird sexual pervert, and saying, oh, look at this Reuven, look at the Bnei Eli, look at Dovin, and so on and so forth. Why is that? This is amazing. This is the tefillah of Roza de Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, the Nusach Sfarad Davids. So what the Zohar points out over there at the end, introducing Baruch Hu, which is Baruch Hu es Hashem. This is V'loimar Baruch Hu es Hashem Amaverach at the end. So the Zohar continues that this Roza de Shabbos is at the transitional moment between Erev Shabbos and Shabbos, which is Baruch Hu. And that is the Chibur, says the Zohar, Es Hashem. Es always means that which is Tofa. That's the Chibur of Erev Shabbos to Shabbos, which is transitional, which is Mechayev Erev Shabbos to become gradually an expression of Shabbos. But Erev Shabbos, says the Zohar, Erev Shabbos is the power of Yesod, because it's Yom HaShishi, as opposed to Malchus, which is Yom HaShvi. And the secret of Shabbos at that moment of Chibur, which becomes the reason that Shabbos is particularly oneg in terms of sleeping with a woman and in terms of having the mitah noah, like we said before, the chachomim or the tzadikim on Erev Shabbos, it's all part of the achana of Shabbos, is because all of the bracha that the Zohar is meramis to is from this chibur of the power of sexuality in its foundational sense, which is yesod, the foundational sense, which is the fundamental presence, which was the whole issue in Gan Eden that we were talking about over here, which was the begodim of Gan Eden, and this becomes the girush from Gan Eden, and this becomes the covering of genitals in Gan Eden, which ostensibly has nothing to do with achila, and which on Erev Shabbos has everything to do with achila, the clothes that you change, the bedding that you prepare, the idea of making sure that your food will be in. All of these issues go back to that moment in Gan Eden because they are foundational. Therefore, the Gemara over here in the discussion of the preparation of your consciousness that expands into the animal and into the world around you on Erev Shabbos is mechayev you not only the din of being mocha, but it's mechayev you to find the foundational issues that are going to be impacting you and recognize that your presence in the world, the greater the tzaddik, whether you're talking about Reuven, you're talking about David, you're talking about Bnei Eli, The deeper is the foundational presence, and therefore the presence of the Freudian aspects of Gan Eden need to be identified and need to be mochuit. So this is exactly the entire sugya is mamish, the tefillah of Rosh the Shabbos. Anyway, that's my closing for the day. Sorry I missed the Mishnayos, but I think it's like, it's an amazing sense of the power of Shabbos. Even the Rebbe seems happy today. Und as der Rebbe schmecheln, und as der Rebbe schmecheln, tanzen alle Chassinu.
Shlomo Kalbach used to tell a story about the Rebbe wanted to find out more about Rebbe Nemelech of Lezhensk. And he found this one old lady used to be a maid in his house. And he asked her, can you tell me something about Rebbe Nemelech? And she says, every Erev Shabbos, when it came time to transition into Shabbos, he used to go around to everybody in the house and ask them for mechila if he offended them during the week.
Very big. It's beautiful. Beautiful. Wow. Thank you. Tremendous story. Okay, everybody. See you, Bezrat Hashem.